I'm very honored on behalf of the Russian Society and the London School of Economics to welcome here this afternoon the Vice Prime Minister of Ukraine for Euro Integration, Oleg Borisovich Rybachuk, and the Minister of Economy, Sergei Anatolyevich Teryokhin. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, extracting what I think is interesting. They're both wonderful English speakers, which is great. Vice Prime Minister Rybachuk is in fact a graduate of Roman German philology and a consultant interpreter of English and French. He's also an economist. He studied at the Faculty of Finance and Credit of Kiev National Economic University. He was chief of service of the Prime Minister of Ukraine and the Secretariat of the Cabinet of Ministers 1999 to 2001, April 2002 to 2005, People's Deputy of Ukraine from the Our Ukraine bloc of Yushchenko. Sergei Anatolyevich Teryokhin is definitely one of us. He's a graduate in international relations from the National Taras Shevchenko University of Kiev. He's been a scientific researcher at Harvard University, also educated at the Vienna University of Economics and at the Aspen Institute. He was a People's Deputy of Ukraine from March 1998, and in the 2002 elections, he was nominated for election again by the Yushchenko bloc. We're very pleased to welcome them here tonight. What they've said that they're going to do is, I'm to tell you they're going to talk for 20 minutes, but actually they're going to stop after 5 minutes because they would like to give as much time as possible to questions. Welcome, ministers, in whichever order you prefer. Come on, very good.
Hi, everybody. It's really, we are excited because we heard a lot about London Economic School of Economics, who didn't. We know many of graduates from this school, and being so many times, I guess, I spent roughly more than a year in London, but mostly it was banking, or it was either Bank of England or EBRD, Foreign Office, whatever, but not the opportunity to talk to such knowledgeable audience, and it was a pleasant surprise. It was a pleasant surprise for me to notice in the program the opportunity to talk to you. Actually, I don't promise 5 minutes, but clearly we're not going to lecture you. As Vice Prime Minister for Euro Integration, this is a new job in Ukrainian government. I would probably try to outline what actually does it mean for us, Euro Integration, and my colleague and member of the same fraction would concentrate on economic issue. He would give you a striking figures on how actually we are doing and moreover how we intend to do it in the nearest years. So starting from the fact why suddenly in Ukrainian government appeared such a job as Vice Prime Minister for Euro Integration. You are bright audience, you clearly watch internet, so you know probably not less than myself about Viktor Yushchenko's election campaign program and the story. What I can tell you from my private experience, that a couple of years ago, it was exactly on the flight to Canada, it was transatlantic, long enough time to talk. We've been talking about the life after presidential election, that time we've been both members of parliament. And Yushchenko told me that his goal or his ambition, his life ambition as possible president of Ukraine would be to get Ukraine to European Union. And as you understand, after getting elected, he is repeating at all meetings that this is his presidential goal. To make it happening, we started preparing ourselves a couple of years ago. We have organized NGO, which we call Center of Europe. I was invited by Polish Euro Integration Committee to visit Warsaw again more than two years ago and spent lots of time studying the Polish experience. Why Polish? You probably may guess because Polish been very strong advocates of Ukrainian future. They've been always campaigning, starting from the President Kwasniewski and number of Polish elite, have been always campaigning about the differentiation between Kuchma as not actually European leader and Ukraine as very European nation. Therefore, the Polish experience on their way to European Union was very useful for us. So-called Polish short road to EU have been thoroughly examined by us. In reality, it means the Polish experience of euro integration starting from the year 97, when they actually stopped talking about euro integration and started doing something. So we were successful in hiring that time Minister of Euro Integration as our part-time consultant, as well as one of the UK known figures, Alan Mayhew, professor living in London, who is very known personality among new members of European Union, because he was not only advisor to Polish Prime Minister, Croatian, or a number of Baltic countries, but he, 10 years ago in Brussels, was in charge of FARE program, technical assistance program, which brought so many countries to European Union. So these two figures, as well as other experts, have been for 2 years involved in preparing Ukrainian strategy for Euro integration. So in short, when Yushchenko was elected as president, I knew what will be my job, because while we've been discussing priorities, my request was very simple. If I can avoid being his chief of staff, because I was his chief of staff when he was prime minister, I was working closely with him since 92 in the National Bank, so I was very happy to do something which will be not directly linked to him. And I told him that sometimes relationships are better when you see each other less often, but it's like with mothers-in-laws, they say. The longer is the distance, and the less often you see each other, the better our relationship. But if seriously, I like this job very much. I feel pretty confident in what I am doing. Moreover, it's based on the previous life experience and on the excitement of the goal. So being involved in the preparation period more than for 2 years, I learned a lot about other countries' experience, and I have to admit that still I changed my tactics after being appointed as the Vice Prime Minister. I tell you in what. Originally, we've been talking about creating Euro Integration Ministry, which will be run by Vice Prime Minister. That is the experience of some of the countries. For example, in the same Poland, my job was done by Prime Minister. In many countries, actually, new members countries, the prime ministers themselves have been running Euro integration committees. In case of Ukraine, and not only Ukraine, the position of vice prime minister was introduced with the sole purpose to coordinate the efforts. Because when I was first time proposed to 2 years ago, or more than 2 years ago, to look into this job, I was asking myself, is there not enough Euro integration initiatives in my country? And when I looked into that, it was more than enough. I mean, by presidential decrees, there were dozens of different committees, special working groups, deputy heads of presidential administration, you name it. There was a Minister of Economy and Euro Integration. There were first deputy of Euro Integration, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. So parliamentary committee, lots of institutions, but at the same time, you couldn't say that the progress was striking. We clearly understand that it was not about the number of agencies involved, but that was the issue of lack of political will. The Ukrainian leadership pretended it wanted very much to get the membership, and they've been accusing Brussels of not willing to send the right signal. And Brussels was very happy to find any excuses, again, to imitate very productive dialogue, but in reality, having same issues discussed from year to year. In the heart of the problem was the incompatibility of the values. I can clearly understand that the easiest to pronounce first Copenhagen criteria, which just talks about democracy and rule of law, is the easiest to pronounce but the most difficult to comply with. And that is exactly what previous Ukrainian government was not able to understand. This is exactly where the differences came from the understanding what is good, what is bad, what is free and fair, what is not. And therefore, when my president, Kuchma, that time president, was sort of indignantly saying, who are they to teach us democracy? I was asking myself, who in hell was teaching him democracy? He he was Partai Genosse in one of the military plants in the Soviet days, and this is not the best school of democracy, and the striking incompatibility of the values were clearly observed during the election campaign when there were two different monitors or observers watching out the elections. One was international community, and one was very strange one, which is called CIS, which is mostly a combination of Russian, Belarusian, Kazakhstan, and other observers. And you could see that things didn't work out. In the first round, or in the first results, where the absolute majority of the Westerners observers clearly said that elections were the elections were done in non-democratic and untransparent way, the CIS observers saying, oh, things are absolutely all right. When Yushchenko was announced the winner, 13,000 observers said that, yeah, that time after parliament has introduced changes to, you know, the legislature, that really we have addressed the most disturbing issues, the whole world said it's more or less okay, but then CIS observers said, no, it was a gross violation. So what I noticed reading today's news is the fact that Ukraine dropped out of CIS inspections team watching elections in Moldova or Kazakhstan. And we know that some of the countries refused to attend also elections in Moldova before that. It means this is what we understand, the things are not compatible. Something which is good for one side is not good for another side. It's very easy for me now to talk to you about, let's say, Euro compatibility of Ukraine now after the developments of so-called Orange Revolution, because millions of Ukrainians demonstrated to the rest of the world that they understand in the same way what is free and what is fair, what is good, what is freedom of speech, and what is not. And therefore, when in Brussels during last meeting, there was a round table when President Bush started talking that what unites 27 leaders, world leaders sitting across this round table is the same understanding of values, we clearly understand what he is talking about, that we understand, and Ukrainian people understand what is free and fair now, what are democratic values as the rest of the world. Before that, in private, I was very often asked, why in hell are you so sure that European choice is something Ukrainian people want? What if they prefer Belarusian life, less freedom, but guaranteed piece of bread and different standards, but everybody getting a little piece of something, and it's not so much about democracy, but they like their leader, and well, they don't care about democracy. That's why while we've been campaigning, we couldn't answer the challenges of our opponents, saying that, okay, you campaign, you might be very popular, but I remember I was participant of many live TV shows, debates, that was sort of most watched like actions by TV, where one of us was normally confronted by one of them on live, and there was many shows which we attended in a row. So very often my counterparts have been asking, smiling in my face, saying that, why do you believe Ukrainians would actually go into the street? And they've been citing different polls saying that less than 1% of Ukrainians would be actually protest if the result of elections is not fair. Therefore, we didn't even think about it, because while talking to ourselves, I remember we discussed this many times with Yushchenko, what happens if we are not supported by our own people? And then the answer was very, very, I would say, distressing, because it means if we are not supported politically, what we can do? We it's not about money. You can't get people in the street fighting for their rights by money. Something our opponents tried to, saying that they would match our protest with theirs if Yushchenko is pronounced a victor. You know, nothing happened. You can't keep people for money in the streets for a long time. Yeah, you can keep them for a couple of hours. As long as you pay them, it's like tax meter. They stay there. But as soon as the time is over, they just drop their banners and they go. And I was seeing the same supporters of our opponents many times. They come there, they cheer, they say, when you approach them, they say, oh, well, you know, we are going to vote for you, but they paid us, so we do it and we'll go exactly when the time is over. And this has happened after elections. You can't have opposition for money. And this is something we still discuss publicly, because you may read from the press that all this Orange Revolution was well-planned and well-financed operations. This allows somebody to explain, and I understand these guys, because I guess somebody paid crazy money to PR consultants, to political consultants who've been consulting Yanukovych, and not only from Ukraine, but from let's say, from neighboring countries, and they used lots of money. They used lots of money, and how they can explain that it was wasted. Of course, it's much easier to explain that there is a global, I don't know, coup d'etat with extraterrestrials involved, with huge money there, with the whole world plotting against poor them. They can't never understand, or they would not like to understand, that they've been practically challenged with what we promised to them, that people's protest. You know, the success of the election was in the very fact that all Ukrainians understood clearly that this is their only chance to make voting a sensible procedure, which could be repeated. Many of them have been saying, if Yushchenko will disappoint us, we clearly know we'll get another chance to vote for somebody else. But if Yanukovych is elected, there will be no election for years and years to come. Therefore, millions of Ukrainians have been protecting their right to vote. And coming back to euro integration and model of Ukrainians' future. You know, again, citing President Kuchma, he was often cited asking the parliament or the society, tell me what kind of country you would like me to construct, and I will construct it. The big difference between President Yushchenko and ex-President Kuchma is not only in this, but clearly Yushchenko knows what kind of future he would like his country to live in. And this opinion is shared by majority of Ukrainians. We would like to have, there is actually a very limited choice for us. We have two options. We had, and we have, and maybe we'll have just two different system of coordinates. One is called European Union, another is called Single Economic Space, or the Glorious Company of Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan. And here we have to choose. I remember one talk show with one of the journalists, like talking to himself. It was about NATO. And there was very famous Ukrainian politician like Natalia Vitrenko. She is just like absolutely get very much excited by hearing World Bank or IMF or NATO. And she was lamenting, saying that, oh, they are dragging us into that union, et cetera, et cetera. And the journalist took the list and say, how funny it looks like in order to make it European Union or to NATO, you have to do so many reforms. You have to meet democratic, to do economic reforms, democratic reforms, military reform. You have to meet so many standards, and et cetera. It requires so much efforts. In order to become member of single economic space, you need do nothing. You can get member of this club immediately. Moreover, when asked who else can join that club, for example, the journalists have been asking, is it open for Asian countries like Kazakhstan, neighboring Iran, Iraq, or India? The answer was yes. Any conditions, the answer was no. So you have to think. And we've been thinking very, very thoroughly. And now the public opinion shows that, well, this will be another campaign issue, because you know that next March, exactly 1 month, 1 year after that, we'll be having parliamentary campaign. And for our pro-European choice to be absolutely supported, we need, amongst other things, win next parliamentary campaign. You know that we have registered a new party, which is roughly called Yushchenko's party, which, as per public opinion, enjoys 30% of support at this point.
27.
Okay, we lost 3% on the way here. But but now there are different Gallup polls shows different figures. But it is just very preliminary. 17% are still supporting Yanukovych. And this is not actually supporting Yanukovych. This is so-called anti-Yushchenko votes. It means we have to do a lot of work explaining to the rest of the people. They are still concentrating in the cities like Donetsk and other industrial centers. We are doing a lot there, but it requires time. Actually, these cities have been living in a sort of brainwashed status for decades, where Yushchenko was described as the devil incarnate, and they've been very much surprised to see him as a normal human being talking normal language, because he was blacked out in TV. You couldn't you couldn't realize. My family, part of my family is from Donetsk. So when I was visiting Donetsk and watching their news, it's something special. It's like they have very different priorities. Whatever is good for the rest of the country is bad for them. So like anti-news, probably even only on the weather, sometimes the estimates have been similar. So it means that it takes a lot of time for us to cover that gap. It goes along the lines of pro-European or pro-NATO choice. As soon as we came from Brussels, our opponent immediately raised the issue of referendum on NATO, and we clearly understand why in hell he is doing this. We know that this idea is not popular among Ukrainians, not because they are against it, because they know very little about it. For them, as again Gallup poll shows, only 2% of Ukrainians have slightest idea what or they say they have sufficient information. What is the NATO about, or what is the European Union? More about know about what European Union is about. But again, we are still under inertia of that Cold War informational campaign, which was extremely active during last years. Because again, as advised by foreign politologists, the whole campaign was projecting one candidate as a clear puppet of Washington and Brussels, and another candidate as the baby of Moscow, with all the results. Whatever you are doing, it was black and white. This campaign backfired, but it doesn't know that we don't have to follow and to address those issues. As Yushchenko said, the wise president, and I have all the reasons to say he is the wise one, will start from addressing the needs of those people who didn't vote for him. Therefore, at this point, we are standing where? We have 1 year prior to next parliamentary election. We have new government, as Sergei Tirokhin today said, 40 days. 40 days?
And 40 nights.
And 41 nights. working in this government. For this time, we are finishing our restructuring as per, let's say, European standards. That means that Minister of Finance, for example, would be in charge of customs and tax policy, which is very normal for any country, but in our previous life, it was coordinated by presidential administration for some reasons. The Minister of Economy will be involved also in much broader field of responsibilities, and we'll be having different logic of the government. It will be not that like Ministry of Bottles and Ministry of Glasses and et cetera, et cetera. It will be ministries which will be involved in policy making, and therefore creating the clear policy where this or that part of the responsibilities will be to create the appropriate climate or the compatibility of our industries involved, or creating the competitive environment for our policies, or promoting our interests and making our business competitive in European scale. We have legalized my office. We have distributed the responsibilities of vice prime ministers and established euro integration structure within the cabinet of ministers. I have signed Ukraine EU plan in Brussels. Now we are working over the roadmap, and our relationship with Brussels are now very simple. We would like not to come back to good glorious days of the past where everybody was very suspicious about its counterpart. We said that we would like to test each other. We would like to take very clear commitment, well described and well monitored commitment, which we call roadmap, which is easily checkable. You can see whether it is done or it is not being done. And therefore, each side, next time I will be in Brussels on April 21, 21st, so by that time we'll be able to say what was being done already by Ukraine to get its market economy status or to progress on WTO road. And we would like to have similar approach where we are saying we are a very responsible partner. If we sign something, we deliver. But we would like also Brussels not to find any excuses to delay. Our message is we are going to meet all the criteria, and we encourage Brussels to start thinking what is next. We have certain progress here. We know that Brussels is already saying about its readiness to review our program in the middle of next year, and we are talking about Brussels' readiness to discuss next what they call enhanced program, the opportunity to sign, which we welcome very much. But our, I wouldn't say request, our demand is that in the next program, we should have one sentence which clearly gives us Europe perspective. And we are going to put all our efforts to achieve this. Thank you very much. as promised, it was never 5 minutes, 25 minutes, but we'll be prepared also to answer your questions after presentation of my colleague, Sergei Tirohin. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. As well as I am a dull economist and not so fluent in verbal presentation as the previous speaker, I would like, I intend to lecture you a little bit with the figures, you know, and all this economic stuff. First of all, I'd like to talk about some trends, tendencies of Ukrainian economy development, which testify favorable conditions for future development. Results of the previous year confirm positive trends in growth of Ukrainian economy. Real GDP growth is 12.1%. It's six times more than in Great Britain, which is the highest in all previous years. A dynamic development of economy was supported by keeping fast growth of industrial manufacture. It's 12.5%. Industrial production grew by virtue of to both export-oriented areas and domestic market-oriented manufacturers. Extremely favorable foreign business climate allowed growing rapidly foreign trade in 2004, in particular. Goods and services export increased by 39% per year. Import increased by 26.7. Positive balance for 2004 was 6 billion, approximately 7 billion US dollars. In comparison, in 2003, it was just 2 billion and 800 million US dollars. So the difference is more than $4 billion. Expansionary fiscal policy directed to decreasing tax pressure and creating equal business conditions, as well as active social policy directed to increasing business incomings and business incomings and support of productive work of population substantially affected economical development of our country in previous year and in 2 months of the recent year. As a result, in 2004, salaries growth was 17% and real population income growth 16.8%. Positive dynamic of both domestic and foreign demand stimulated fast growth of business activities and respectively investments. In the beginning of this year, real economy growth was 8.5%. It's February to February, February this year to February last year. Industrial production 10.4%. Production volumes grew in advanced rates in the field of industry, which manufacture goods for demand of consumers and foreign markets. Foreign industry had growth 19.8%. Chemical and petrochemical industry 17.1%. So huge figures, you know, it's enormous huge if compared with the figures in the European Union. Metallurgy 10.2%. The highest growth of gross added value was in the following economic activities. It's transportation, it's 8.6%, wholesale and retail trade 6.5%, and agriculture, even Ukrainian agriculture, 4.2%. In spite of the effect of the high level of governmental interference in agricultural field. As a whole, characterizing structure of GDP, growth in 2004 and beginning of this year, I must state that the key influence was made by foreign demand, same as in the previous years. However, dependence on development of the world economy and world market of raw materials limits potential possibilities of development, unfortunately, this year, as well as decreases resistance of economy to different kind of foreign shocks. Taking that into account, the government, while reviewing the budget for this year, decided to increase social part of economical policy with the purpose of stimulating of advanced growth of domestic demand and subsequently development of field working for consumer. With the purpose of necessity to improve population well-being, the government changes income redistribution, increasing the part of labor payoffs up to 60.3% against 44% in 2004, incredibly high race, which corresponds with the world rates. In EU countries in 2001, this indicator was 51.3%. So exceeded, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. While population purchasing power grows, production of field manufacturing finishing consumers' goods will grow too. First of all, it's true for food industry and agricultural products processing. This field proves the ability to flexibly react on changes of both volumes and structure of consumers' demand of population. The part of this field production in the general consumer structure is about 63%. As a whole, industry volumes growth rate will be about 12%. Main industry activities production volume growth rate in January 2005 was 8.4. We also expect further increased production consuming in services such as social, education, healthcare, for example, financial, and many others. The price for such a substantial increase of consumers' demand will be rather high inflation level in 2005. So still we have tough negotiations. Let's see, with the National Bank. This morning we had a session in a Renaissance Hotel.
Adam Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had a live discussion with the governor of the National Bank about the level of inflation and the role of monetary policy in curbing the exceed of inflation rate. As soon as we will decide to curb inflation not more than 10% per year, we have to change our exchange rate policy radically, and we propose, government proposes to the National Bank to reevaluate Ukrainian hryvnia up to 5.10 hryvnia per dollar. As soon as we will do it, the inflation rate will be approximately 9.8% per year. If not, we have a threat to have inflation as approximately 15.4% per year, which is very close to hyperinflation indicators. However, it's not too high, even 10%, it's not too high for the country which is going through the stage of economical system transformation. At a certain compensation for activities on forming principally new system of manufacture, dynamic of which will be formed according to more changes in domestic demand. In 2005, as a result of expected world markets deterioration, IMF predicts slowing down world economy growth rate to 4.3% against 5% in 2004, as well as due to competition intensification on traditional for Ukrainian markets, we expect slowing down of export and import dynamics. Goods and services export volumes will increase by 10.4% against 39% in last year. Import by 14.5% against 26% and 7% last year. With such changes in incoming volumes and redistribution in consumers' expenditures volumes, GDP will really grow by 8.2%, not more, unfortunately. Amongst many foreign economic priorities of Ukraine, the government concentrated its efforts on activation of cooperation with European Union. My colleague already told about it a little bit, as well as finalizing Ukraine entering WTO process. By the way, I'm very proud that just 2 hours ago, our parliament voted finally for the new import tariffs for consumer goods, first of all. It's the first tranche we prepared in order to reduce drastically these old Soviet-style import tariffs we had before. So we reduce for the first, for consumer goods, the average reduction is 3 times, but then on some positions, from 300. You can only imagine we had a position with 380% import tariff ad valorem rate. So it's impossible to pay it. So it was just a stop of any trade, yeah? So we reduced it at the average level of 4.6%. So it's very great success and very proud about my prime minister, because my prime minister, Yulia Tymoshenko, instead of me, because I'm here,
it, yeah.
Yes, has been presenting this this law. So we had in our agenda three other tranches of changes this import tariff policy. The next will be very touchable, you know, delicate. It's the first 26 group of unified tariff positions. It's agricultural products. For us, you, I believe you know that the you know most important in break slogan to Ukraine it's Захист вітчизняного виробника. It's a defense of national manufacturer, and unfortunately nobody pay attention to national consumer. Today there are already 30 bilateral protocols we signed on goods and services, services market access with countries including European Union, Switzerland, New Zealand, and Canada. So still we have not signed protocols for WTO with USA, China, Australia, and Japan. But Japan, it's not a problem because we signed a final agreement, I personally, with the ambassador of Japan just 1 week ago. Accordingly with it, in April, the final protocol will be signed in Japan, maybe with the participation of President Yushchenko. Still, we have some problems, rather deep with United States of America, first of all, in agricultural sector, as well as Australia, you know. China, it's metallurgy. Still, we have to negotiate. So 95% of consolidated tariffs proposition is already agreed in bilateral talks. That's why the government of Ukraine optimistically evaluates possibility for our, my country to finalize talk on Ukraine and enter in WTO this year and enter WTO this year. So maybe I will just stop reading and explaining what I'm reading about. What we have now to do? Everything. We came to the government. When we came there, yeah, we found out that there is a total mess. There is a high level of corruption. You can only imagine in my ministry, which should be a macroeconomic, you know, ministry of macroeconomic fashion. So I have eight divisions which deal with different spheres of economic activity. And each division has been concentrated on bribing, on stealing money, even macroeconomic block. You can imagine how the block of macroeconomic prognosis can steal money. It's very easy. They got grants from European Union, by the way, also, in order to develop statistics, for example, or the ideas of different macroeconomic prognosis. And after that, they pay these grants, these bureaucrats, to husbands, wives, doing nothing, of course.
For research, so-called research.
Because, you know, the output was approximately about zero. So we need to build up Ukrainian economy from the early beginning. And fortunately, We have excellent team of specialists. We have excellent team of diplomats, Mr. Ambassador. And I very optimistic, extremely optimistic that in the nearest future, Ukraine will be a more open country, and at least foreign investors will become understand what is going on inside. You know that next year we will face a new election to the parliament, and I hope as soon as we will get the support from our parties. I'm not a member of this newly created party with 27% support, not 30.
I am not. Yeah.
Yeah. You are not, no? Because I'm a member of different party, of Reform and Order party, you know. Yeah. We will create a bloc, and we would like to have at least 50% of votes in a new parliament. As soon as we will succeed to do it, okay. If not, it's not okay. Yeah. But in any way, we hope. Thank you very much.
Right. Well, the ministers are happy to answer questions. I think I would beg you to keep your questions short so that we can have more of them. Talk very loudly and clearly. Perhaps identify who you are, because that would be interesting for the ministers. And I will try and spot you in order. If you put your hand up, keep watching me, because I will come to you, try and signal with my eyes who's next. And can you say which minister you're addressing it to? And of course, the first question to Gwen Zasa.
Can we use this mic?
Yes, do.
Okay.
Is it on? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good question, specifically asked in London, because when we had in Davos, it was in Brussels, the meeting, first meeting in the history of bilateral relations of independent Ukraine with your Prime Minister, Tony Blair, my president said that actually we anticipate the UK presidency in EU, because this is why when we intend to submit the request about the membership, the Prime Minister smiled, but with half of his face, meaning that, and when I repeated this while talking to your ambassador, the reaction was the same. If seriously, we clearly know that Brussels is never prepared to give the answer. Brussels was saying no to everybody, to Poles, to Slovakians, and everybody ignored their no. So we are going to follow that logic ourselves. We have signed this plan. Actually, the choice was very limited. When we came to, it was not with us when it was negotiated. Actually, it was not negotiated at all. It was prepared by Brussels officials. The previous government wanted to get something. So we know the ex-prime minister was spending even extra time in Brussels demanding market economy status. He never got it, but he stayed over extra 24 hours with some logic of maybe his staying would help the status to be granted. It didn't work out. So when we came to power, our choice was very limited. Either we sign this action plan or we start renegotiating it. It may take a year or more. Meanwhile, nothing would be happening. So that action plan was sort of amended by famous 10 points letter of Solana and Commissioner Ferrara Waldner, and therefore I have signed it. Ukrainian criticism of it was very obvious. Our president was saying it doesn't give us the answer what is next. But that boldness of us was sort of rewarded by the change of rhetoric from Brussels, which is now not saying what they used to say a year ago, that you'll never make it. We are not going to say we'll make it tomorrow. We already know that, and it was announced, that next program or this action plan can be reviewed already next year. And Brussels is already clearly pronouncing new enhanced program. And they do not say neighborhood anymore, because we are always saying we'll never agree to be neighbors We've never been neighbors. We are not going to be neighbors. We have some relations with European Union, but we are not neighbors. So this point is taken. So we are now practically anticipating the implementation of number of commitments we have made. One of which is making it to WTO by the end of this year, getting market economy status for anti-dumping with EU, then with United States as well, but this is sort of prior condition to WTO anyways. And to solving some issues related to energy sector, which is now in progress. And here I have to say that after signing the EU action plan, our contacts here have been increased substantially. We have very practical negotiations going on. EU Commission on energy is coming to us on April 25, 26. In short, after signing EU plan, we have noticed that things have changed. So we are not wasting time on anything renegotiating it. Anyway, it was not responsible from our side. Plus, we are working over roadmap that in something which we can check both from Brussels side and from our side. And as I said, we demand from Brussels clear responsibility. It looks like it's politically very dangerous now to be creative and not to implement what you have promised, because here is publicity. We are very committed. We put everything on internet, and we are answering lots of questions from our journalists, and Brussels have to do the same. Our activity is well known to the community, and community is part of our support. If we are delivering, it will be very difficult politically for anybody to say us no. That's why we are very positive that our progress on implementation will be met accordingly by further commitment of Brussels. That's why we are rather relaxed on their nervous remarks on when and if. We know that they are in a very difficult position. We wish Europeans very successful referendums on constitution, as well as we wish very successful pro-European results of referendums of many countries. And we, at the same time, we are not going to waste any time. We are going to implement. We call this pressure of actions. It starts from the fact that we are dropping visa requirements for EU, and not only EU, but probably US and Canada, just in 1 month's time. We are not bargaining that do something in response, but as we are saying, we expect gentlemen's reaction from the EU. It's not actually coming immediately, but anyway, there were a meeting of three ministers of justice just a few days after our Brussels summit, and there was decision taking that EU is starting to discussing the softening of visa requirements in May already. Before that, they've been planning in October. In short, there is a noticeable progress in relations, and neighborhood is something which is never mentioned again as the perspectives of Ukrainians, not by Ukrainian officials, neither by Brussels.
Thank you. And Petro, yeah.
By Brussels.
Incentive is very obvious. You wouldn't see the difference staying here and staying back in Ukraine. So this is a rather good motivation for you to use practically all your studies, and so for yourself and your kids living in the similar circumstances and then having similar problems British community has, whether to join Schengen or to drop the pound for euro, this should be the only problem Ukrainians should be concerned about in the nearest future. If all the rest is like it is in UK, we are pretty comfortable with this. I already answered about visa policy. We do confirm again that by the end of April, there would be no visa requirements for EU members plus US and Canada. We clearly realize that this unilateral step would very much increase the number of visitors to Ukraine, and a substantial part of those visitors will be business community. And therefore, the losses which are unavoidable to the budget from the visa revenues will be more than compensated by the investments brought to the country. Physically, it's known that every foreigner coming to the country is living in the hotels or direct payments much more than he or she pays for visas. We understand the difficulties the European community is facing right now, specifically German case. There was a very successful visit of President Yushchenko to Germany, and we clearly know and you are aware of the campaign which was there. We really appreciate the Joschka Fischer's statement that there shouldn't be a confusion between some of culprits which might be of Ukrainian origin and the whole Ukrainian nation in tackling the visa issue. My president, talking about visa, starts from the students. He's saying that the students who are studying abroad should have no problem in getting multi-entry visas. And still nowadays, it is still the case. And we are talking about first categories like students, journalists, maybe diplomats. And we are positive that because the Commission is getting mandate to review this issue already in May, that there would be, in very short perspective, noticeable changes, specifically in the attitude. Because after Orange Revolution, when the whole world is applauding to Ukrainians, the last thing we would like to see that there is no change in attitude. During the revolution days, the Brussels was demanding much more strict visa requirements for their embassies. Revolution is over, requirements are not less strict. But the funny thing about this is that it only increases the bribes paid to consulates, foreign embassies, for getting visas. And the gangsters or well-organized crime is not having problem with getting multi-entry visas. But the people who mostly need it, like you, have a little choice. When I'm telling this to international community, they didn't like it very much. But this is true. There is a certain visa mafia, I would say, where you, by finding intermediaries or by paying the right person, you will get no queue. You may get even citizenship, not only visas, to EMU community. It means well-organized crime is benefiting from stricter measures. So if you soften the regime, it would be much easier for many hundreds or thousands of Ukrainians to have easier success. That's why this is where we are negotiating now. And we feel that there is an understanding.
A person in the hat.
Unfortunately, the question is not for right persons, because we are not dealing with the question of Bologna and integration to Bologna process. In the government, we have a minister for education and science. But we discussed it several weeks ago in the cabinet of minister meeting, and the schedule is approximately 8-10 months in order to create just a program how to do it. Because as soon as you know, we have absolutely separate systems of science and separate system of education. And the problem to integrate these two systems, one into the other, is the high level opposition from the pro-Soviet style Academy of Sciences in Ukraine. You still know that the high-level academicians in Ukrainian Academy of Sciences have not been changed within the last 30 years or 40 years. And of course, the attitude of these guys to the reform in the sphere of education and science research is absolutely negative, you know, absolutely negative. They do not want to change anything. They want to get the money from the state budget every year. They want to use a property which belongs to the state, but it is very strange. They can use it, but they are not owners, but they can use it. They can just sub-rent it, yes, to get the money from using it as a commercial property and so on. So it's a very tough question, but we are moving towards the integration, the implementation of the Bolognian principles to our education and science. Yeah. Okay. It's a part, no. Yes, yeah. It's a part of our action plan, by the way, no. And it's a part the adopted program of the government adopted by the parliament.
Right.
Okay, good question. That's a yes, easy answer. Yeah, it's you're maybe 12 or 13 person who asked me this, put this question to me, you know, this day. No problem at all. Yeah, it's very important. It's very important because the attitude of investors and not only investors, but lawyers, for example, economists, to Ukraine depends on the resolving this situation with these companies which was stilled by the previous government and bureaucracy and gangsters. Yeah, what we have to do? It was quite the same, you know. What do we have to do? For example, everybody knows about the case of Krivorivstal. The Supreme Court just 1 week ago announced void this agreement on privatization. So juridically, Krivorivstal is not privatized. So what we have to do? We are preparing within the next 2 months to resell it. Sell it on once again. On absolutely open market, on absolutely open auction, where we will have one indicator, price. That's it. No investor obligation, no, you know, all this crazy stuff, and so on. Yeah, Ukrainian partners, etc. Yeah. We don't care either it's foreign capital, national capital, the only one indicator, price. We will, of course, return back to the company. It's not an owner yet, already, sorry. To the company who spent money paying to the budget, this four billion hryvnias, or $800 million approximately. Yeah? We reimburse this money to him because it's not nationalization, yes? It's just we have to make status quo. About other enterprises, it will be approximately a couple of dozens who've been stilled also last year or in 2003. It will be, we will publish a clear list, final list of these enterprises next week or Wednesday, Thursday. It cannot be amended or changed in the future. And we will publish a principles how we would like to propose these guys to pay up the price to the market one, and we will propose the procedure how to find this fair market price, and the consequences of not paying up this price. So everything is under the law and constitution of Ukraine. Please do not use the word reprivatization or nationalization. No, it's just paying up, and that's it. Voluntary at the first stage. So we will next week all the draft of this law will be submitted to the parliament, will become public as well as this list, and you can criticize us or not or support it.
Question here.
Or pay, yeah.
Can I ask you to keep your questions short? We've got a lot of questioners.
Yeah, this is what we anticipate. The possibility of achieving this, we anticipate already next year when we are talking about review of our action plan. As I already said, we've got nothing to do with the previous plan. It was like not imposed, but you take it, you drop it. We've been discussing with my colleague today that we need to have a qualified legal company advising us on all the options, because you mentioned one which we do not benefit from. By signing the action plan, we are now got access, for example, to European Investment Bank, something we could never do it without signing it. So in short, we'll be having the chance to look in all possible additionalities or added value, not less than in the middle of next year, when we'll be able to report on the progress. And we are going to announce the tender, most probably, we discussed this, to announce the tender for the law firm, which would advise us both on relations with EU, WTO, etc. Because there is a lot we do not know yet. There are many programs which we can benefit from, but you need very expert lawyers, you need very good advisors, so we would be proactive, that we would not be giving one option and said that this is maximum we can get. But besides getting advice from new members of EU, we intend to hire very professional consultancy.
Just yesterday, we have nothing. Yesterday, we had a meeting of Council of National Security Council only about the around the question of administrative reform. Still, okay. Last week, President issued a decree, which created a framework of internal structure of any every ministry. And for example, accordingly, if compares the ideas of this decree with the recent situation in my ministry, in my monster ministry, so let's see, I have 11 deputies, 11 deputy ministers. I don't know what for, but 11 deputy ministers. I have three levels of subordination, department, управление, division, video, I don't know how to, also division, but smaller, you know, section, or I don't know.
Section,
yeah. According to this decree, there are just two levels. It's department and division, and only four deputy ministers functional, and one first who should be a high bureaucrat, a highest bureaucrat, because the minister is not a bureaucrat, he's politic, a politician. Yeah. And as soon as government will change, politicians should be changed, but these bureaucrats should stay at their places. Because now we have absolutely crazy situation when in my ministry with 1,140 persons working in breaks now, there are a group of 30 enthusiasts who making all job, you know. 30 and 1,140, you can see. So it's abnormal situation. So it's the first step. In the Security Council, yesterday we tried, without us, they tried to divide the responsibilities between ministries and between government and business. It's very important because in my ministry, for example, there are some so-called state agencies who carry out just pure business activity. Government should get rid of such kind of pseudo public but positively business companies. Yeah. So we don't know yet results of this meeting of Security Council. But as soon as I know some rumors, you know, some rumors that they didn't decide anything, you know, because there are no decision taken at all. It seems there are rumors, you know, so because still even in our team, which is friendly, which is just we are homogeneous team. But even in our team, there are some you know, jealousy about the responsibilities. For example, between my ministry and Ministry of Industry, I told Ministry of Industry that I do not like Ministry of Industry because it's not functional industry ministry. It's a part of economy, you know. So you should be a small department, you know, in my ministry, you know. Or we have a problem with the Ministry of Finance, who Mr. Pinzenik, my close friend, he wants to influence into the tax policy, but tax policy it's not his deal, you know. Tax policy it's a part of the program of economic growth, and that's it. And I told him that look, you are buhalteria. Now, accounting department of my ministry, you know, and that's it. So you can see, yeah, you can see our interesting discussions. But I believe, if to be serious, that we have to finalize this job very soon, in a very quick manner, because still government is not functionable for 100%.
But what we already addressed, we stopped getting, you know, where is corruption? Where there is budget money and private money. So we addressed the issues of so-called, you've been talking today, free economic zone. They're actually free from paying taxes. We dropped all the privileges. We are stripping off of the ways for corruption, which was very actively promoted by previous government. We launched anti-stop contrabanda campaign, and the minister was saying today that immediately after that, the revenues from customs increased by 300% within 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah. So we are addressing systemically those issues. So you shouldn't be under the impression that we are not doing now but for restructuring. But you have to start from the systemic. You can't start from getting small fish and saying, oh, we've got him or them on stealing the government money. It's more systemic approach.
I have already more questions noted down, or people noted down, than there will be time for. So just have patience with me. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Yuri Lachenko. I'm a student of economics at the CERN, and I'd like to talk about the creeping counter-revolution, or talk about it. Like many of us demonstrated, not only in Kiev, but also in here, London, thousands of Ukrainians gathered and demonstrated. And it is a great pleasure to now see the members of the people's government in front of us. Finally, what we fought for, we received. However, it is with dismay, and even may I say horror, that I notice now, again, the so creeping counter-revolution that we see with the people which 2 months ago shouted Yanukovych had blue and white flags and said Yushchenko is the devil. Now they have orange ties, they have two cars which say, yeah.
Like you.
Yeah. And now proclaim that they have always supported.
Ask your question.
Yeah, my question right now. So basically, my question is, it's both of you, but first of all, Mr. As you, for your occupation, the main face of the Ukrainians outside, or Ukraine outside Ukraine, is the embassies. So my question is, are you planning to review the ambassadors, our ambassadors outside? Because many of them, I wouldn't say the majority of them, openly supported.
Okay, you've asked your question. You've asked your question.
Okay,
let's have an answer.
And
no, it's enough. I'm terribly sorry. It's enough. Thank you.
The decision about ambassadors is the responsibility of the president of Ukraine, but not government. So president of Ukraine knows everything.
I think that's enough. Thank you. It's enough. Thank you. Question, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a question of national security of Ukraine. First of all, we would like, when Putin will come? 19 of March, Mr. President of Russia, Russian Federation, will come to Kyiv. And one of the questions is on the agenda is about the diversification of the supplies of oil, petroleum, and gas. And especially the soul, the fate of Odessa-Brody pipeline. The second, at the same time, Ukrainian government is very active with the Polish one, in order to clarify what we will have to do with this Plotsk, this Brody Plotsk, yes. Part of this pipeline, so and how fast we can create it in how we can raise the money for this project. Just several days ago,
in Germany,
$2 billion. Yeah, it was signed a letter of intent about $2 billion.
Deutsche Bank.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
You've been there. I'm not.
No, yeah. I was not there, but actually, yes, there was, there was a credit agreement signed between Ukraine.
Letter of intent.
No. Next will be credit agreement, but with $2 billion. But at the same time, I've been meeting recently Mr. Sarvazi, who is an international advisor to Brussels, and we expect on April 25, 26, the commissioner, EU commissioner on energy issues. And therefore, EU has already, that is the fact, EU has allocated €2 million for feasibility study of this project. So it is in the interest, this is what our president is campaigning now, that Ukraine can not only be a recipient, but can contribute to European House by helping out with some issues like energy diversification. So we are having €2 million project for the feasibility study. There are now negotiations going on for how the oil can be transported from Caspian or from Arab countries. And there is a very active diplomatic activity in that regard.
I'm sorry, very shortly. We're discussing now the, we have absolutely different electro-energetical systems in Ukraine and in Europe. Not only frequencies, but some technical differences, And what we would like to do is just make homogenization, of our system in order to sell the exceed of our electricity to Europe. And in reverse, if we will have some problems, for example, several years ago, we have problems with two nuclear stations, and our frequency dropped down substantially. So we had to buy somewhere. Now it's possible only from Russian Federation, from one
one net. So in the future, we would like to make these special systems with Europe in order to make trade, mutual trade, and so on.
Question at the back. You have to talk very loudly. Question, please. Okay, got the question. Thank you. Got the question. Thank you. Why are you so upset?
Why is the European Union upset?
No, why are you so upset?
Obsessed.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely, but if you look at the history of Ukraine, we've been always in Europe, culturally, religiously, geographically, and for Ukrainians, as I can repeat myself again, unlike Turkey, our choice is limited to two models. Either we join European Club, or we join the glorious company of Kazakhstan, Belarus, and Russia, with very different system of values. Ukrainian preferred European Club, which has more competitive advantage. If you look at the figures, what is economic potential, market, standards, where, and simply, why are you staying here, not in Minsk, for example? You prefer, for some reasons, to study in London school. You don't go to Astana. You still don't even go to Moscow, which have very good institutions. For some reasons, you are studying here. And for some reasons, you made your own choice. Why do you believe Ukrainians are stupid also? They also prefer better standards and better perspectives.
Excellent, thank you.
First of all, the first part was, as I understood, about evaluation of. Now,
why is the price? Чому ціна є головною метою?
Okay. Why price? Because the main goal of privatization is to get rid of the business who is not should be carried by the government, by the public. We have a problem, for example, with natural monopolies. Yes, and we have to discuss either railroad should be privatized or not, because it's a problem of natural monopoly. But Krivoryshtal, for example, or Mykolaiv plant, you know, and the tube plant, you know, and so on. I don't know.
It's clay something.
It's just a part of concrete society of. Competitive society, yeah? Why we have to keep it in the public hands, you know? Let them just compete in a normal manner. So what we have to do, we have to get a fair price when we sell this project to the market, and this plant to the market. That's it. With this money, we will support people, employment, infrastructure, logistics, and so on. The second, what about privatization? Yes, we have ambitious plans to follow our privatization, to develop it.
What about telecommunication system? It's a hard question, it's a political question, because as soon as Ukrtelecom, it's the name of our telecommunication company, the biggest one, have been privatized last year, we got the amount of money which is equal on net profit, annual net profit. That's it. It was absolutely stupid. So what we would like to do, we do not know the real market fair price of this object. So we would like not to sell it to strategical investor, but to sell a portfolio packages of stocks into international market, stock market, national stock market, and let them just to show us what is the real price of this object. And then we will decide what to do with Ukrtelecom as a natural, by the way, monopolist now. Maybe we will leave in our hands the 51%, but we will ensure the amount of dividends paid every year annually. Maybe there privileged stocks, yeah, or securities. I don't know. Yeah. So we don't know. Now it's a political question, but we don't want to be in a hurry. Because it's a very important question, you know.
Okay, I'm going to take the two last questions, one from a student and one from the member of press who keeps showing me that wretched card in front of it. So you first. And the press,
I'll
take the second question at the same time, if you don't mind. Yeah.
It's only Gavin O'Donovan. So the Gongarza case is the main legacy that we inherited. What is happening about that at the moment? There are a lot of rumours going around. Kuchma has been given immunity in December. Kravchenko, a key witness, is now dead. Goncharov, another key witness, is dead. And the Melnichenko tapes haven't been mentioned by Kuchma since December. Are the Melnichenko tapes going to be considered as evidence as Gongarza's widow and mother would like?
Mm. Yeah, this is Minister of Economic Competence.
Okay.
But in any ways, you can just find this. It's open information in our mass media, so we cannot only Prosecutor General and Mr. President know more than you. So we have to wait. The President told that in a couple of weeks, it will be pronounced who, how, when, and where killed Gongadze.
There are some arrests.
We have not some, but massive arrests, you know, of people who are supposed to be involved in this case, and we are waiting. We cannot interfere into this case because we are not militias or politicians or prosecutors, and that's it.
Again, but to add, you have a good news for Kuchma. You said he's got immunity in December. It's a news for us. Maybe you know something we don't know. My president clearly said that there was no immunity agreement between Yushchenko and Kuchma. So being ex-members of parliament, we are surprised that you know about this kind of agreement. Maybe it's good news for Kuchma, but we don't know about it. Our message is very clear that Yushchenko was many times asked, I am talking now like ex-chief of Yushchenko's staff, okay? Yushchenko was many times asked during the revolution days, was there a deal or not? And he said that president is elected by the people, and it's up to the people to decide. Yes, Kuchma, we've been discussing in parliament the possibility of voting the law, not on the Kuchma's immunity, but on president as an institution. But Kuchma was a very proud person. He says he doesn't need any guarantees. Good for him now. And it's not now our problem. It's a legal issue. It has to be solved legally. But again, you should probably don't follow rumors here. My president made a very clear statement that this is the issue of his personal prestige and morale, that Gongadze issue is solved because it has very bad image, or gives very bad reputation for the country.
This is now absolute priority, but there shouldn't be another extreme when everybody is trying to expedite that. It is not kept now in the secret. People are arrested. People are talking. It's in the center of parliamentary attention. It's in the center of everybody's attention now. So how close we are there, it's not us. We don't know. We maybe are like you. We are users of general information. Talking about Polish, what Poles could do, I guess what they did is more than enough for Ukrainians to ever and ever be grateful for them. And what Poles have been doing when nobody was doing it was just trying to send a clear message that Kuchma and Ukraine are different entities. If you don't like Kuchma, you have all the reasons not to like him, because what he was doing is not compatible with European values. But you couldn't keep the whole country hostage of one guy's reputation. And specifically, role of President Kwasniewski and Poland during revolution days have been crucial. Many people now clearly realize if that delegation of Solana, Kwasniewski, Adamkus, and a few others would be one day late, the scenario could be very different. They've been absolutely ready to pronounce Yanukovych a winner, and probably will be not sitting here, but in prisons by this time.
Yeah.
And Ukraine will be joining a very different club. There would be no European integration, but we'll be already in Belarusian status.
Before I thank the ministers, can I please ask you to remain seated until they leave? Last time I forgot to do that, there was a rugby scrum and we nearly lost a minister. So but before I do that, I think the real testament to how much interest you've aroused is the fact that there are many people in the audience who are very angry with me because I never got to their questions. It was absolutely fascinating. You were very generous. And on behalf of the Russian Society and the LSE, we wish you lots and lots of luck. And thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.